Well, welcome to Collective Church. Thank you for tuning in to this sermon, and I really do hope Jesus speaks to you in the midst of this sermon. But as a pastor, I just want to encourage something. If you're only tuning in online, we just want to say thank you and welcome, but also to push you towards finding a local church where you can be a part of a local body physically. So thank you for tuning in. You can find any information at collectivechurch.co, and grace and peace be with you.
If we haven't had the pleasure of meeting, I'm Ezekiel. I'm the associate pastor here. In preparing for this message, it was slightly last minute. Not slightly, it was totally last minute because Nick and I had to switch on teaching this weekend. And so when it came to it, I kind of had an idea and went to God for a lot of it, just because there's a lot of, I think this is a very important topic and something I've seen as something that we as Christians aren't the greatest at, in my personal opinion, and some might get mad at me for saying this, but the topic I'm talking about is compassion. And so I think the Western culture of church has definitely developed this idea of compassion in a very surface level idea of what it is. And we get this, I think it feeds into a little bit of our pride that the little things we do, for example, like social media is kind of a dangerous place, not even kind of, but it's both good and bad, but there's a tendency to record what you do and project the things you are compassionate about, and it makes it seem, and this is no judgment to whoever is recording, like, social media is a scary place, and what people use it for could be a whole lot of things. But there have been times where, whether it's Christians or not, you could see people recording things to record a good act towards someone. And then after, it's just that recorded viral video, and then after, there's no real follow-up. There's no real compassion after that. And so as I thought about this, and Nick kind of gave me the title for this message, and it's called The Compassion of Christ. And so kind of like, you know, the Passion of the Christ, but Compassion of Christ. and I also, I'm trying to get more, not unprofessional when I teach up here. We're such a small crew that it's very easy for me to try to act a certain way and project a certain idea of myself when I preach and teach. But I also have the leeway to be myself when I teach and preach. And so, yeah, the things I thought about this week was just, I have thought as of late, something I noticed about, I'm just going to read my notes because it makes it easier. As of late, something I notice about us humans in general is we are so quick to condemn and cancel. In this day and age, and with the rise of social media being one of our biggest ways we consume information, we all fall so easily into burning bridges within our communities, people, family, coworkers, relationships, strangers, etc. Because we simply don't agree with a lifestyle choice, thing they said, certain ideals they align with. We are so easily ensnared in our own righteousness that may lead us down a path of pridefulness, that we become more passionate about being right than we are to become more compassionate for truth to be heard and received. And so, as I collected my thoughts and my notes, as I sermon prepped this week, Nick and I talked about it, and I talked with a few friends over the week about compassion and just this thing that should be so natural to us as Christians, and those that are calling ourselves Christ followers should be just second nature. But sadly, that is something that isn't. And I am also one that falls into this like idea of doing my good deeds and seeing it as me being compassionate. And so I've had to wrestle and go through the thoughts of, okay, what is compassion? How does Jesus show that to us? And how has Jesus showed that to us in his word? And one specific story that we're going to read is in Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. And this is the story of Zacchaeus encountering Jesus. And before I read that, I'm going to pray again, because I think prayer is powerful. And I think God is going to do something in and through this message. And so let's pray. God, I just thank you for this. I thank you for everything you're doing here at Collective, in and through us, Lord, here in person, and those that are watching online and through all the outlets we work through, Lord. I just pray that you speak through me, be your words and not mine. And I just pray that tonight we'd come to an understanding and a better grasp at what compassion is and the compassion you've had for us. And I pray that we'd experience that, we'd know that, we'd be able to look back and see where you've been compassionate towards us. And I just pray for this message. I pray for every single person that's going to listen to this and watch this, Lord, that they just hear from you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. So Luke 19, verses 1 through 10 reads this. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short of stature. So he ran ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. In the context of this story and the details that I think are very key to notice and know is the character of Zacchaeus, the person of Zacchaeus. We are told he's a chief tax collector. And fun fact, if you want to understand more of why this story is an example of Christ's compassion towards Zacchaeus, but also towards us, is Zacchaeus is already seen by his own people as public enemy number one. He is a Jewish man who has betrayed his own people to work for the Roman Empire and collect taxes. And another fun fact is the fact that it says he is rich could also imply there's a very high possibility he was a crooked tax collector and exploited things and made ways for him to become a rich man. And so we have to look at this in the light of, okay, Zacchaeus is a man that is public enemy to this crowd of people that is around Jesus right now. He already can't get through the crowd, partly because he's short of stature, which means he's a short guy, which is okay. It's okay to be a short guy because I'm not the tallest. But also, there could be a very high risk and possibility if he went through the crowd and people found out he was in there, that could have been a death sentence for him. Already a dangerous spot for him to be. So he didn't go through the crowd, but he had the curiosity and willingness to want to know who this Jesus is. Because prior to this, Jesus already has healed the blind man. He has done a lot of miracles and teachings. And another whole thing that he taught on was the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the prodigal son. So we have to look back at that last sentence, the last part of verse 10, where he says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That is what Jesus came down here for. That is what Jesus wants us to also be doing, to seek out those who are lost so that they might be saved. Zacchaeus was one of those people. So he's short of stature, climbs a tree, and we have to really think of the context of the culture. If a man of that stature, of that level of or caliber in his position, were to climb a tree, I think a lot of people would have seen him as childish. It is almost a disgraceful act to act such a way in public. So we have to also think about that. He's already putting himself in a view. Now everyone's going to see him. That could have been a very thought that he just had as he climbs this tree. Everyone's going to see me. And he's making this call in high hopes to encounter Jesus, because he has this curiosity of, I've heard of who this Jesus is. He's healing people. He is this so-called, what people are calling the Messiah. And he's curious about that. He wants to know who this Jesus is. So when he climbs the tree, no one knows he's there until Jesus calls him out. Jesus calls Zacchaeus out by name as he's on a tree for everyone else to see. It's not going to be a complete subtle announcement. It's a blatant calling out of Zacchaeus. Invite me to your home. Let's have dinner. That's my own paraphrase. That's not what it says right here in the Bible. But now we have this crowd that's upset by that, because also prior to this, the Pharisees had already plotted against Jesus to try and get him in trouble, partly through their issues with tax collection. So the whole, they're asking if it's rightful for Jews to be giving taxes to Caesar. And they pose this question to Jesus, and they're hoping Jesus is going to take one side or the other, because either side he takes, he's going to be in trouble. If he takes the Jews' side on we shouldn't be paying taxes to the Roman Empire, he's in trouble with the Romans. But if he takes the side of only the Jews, if he takes the side of the Jews, he's going to be in trouble with the Romans. If he takes the sides of the Romans, he's going to be in trouble with the Jews. And then what he does say is, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. He picks this neutral ground, which is also very upsetting to a lot of people that he's been around recently. And so in light of all this story specifically, we're around someone that is involved with money. We're around someone that is already labeled as the chief of sinners, the chief tax collector. He's already hated by the public. And I think it's so easy for me, and I think for a lot of us, to think, oh, I'm like Zacchaeus. I could easily be like Zacchaeus. But the reality of it is, I am so easily like the crowd where I grumble and complain because Jesus is picking someone I don't agree with. And here in this story, we see the very picture of compassion that Jesus has. And what that compassion does in relationship to Zacchaeus, it causes Zacchaeus to give what he has to those who he may have hurt, and change his life. Through these 10 verses, this is all we really get. We don't know then after what happens, but we do know, because of his encounter with Jesus, he is a changed man. And so one of the things I think about and something I like to process is today's culture in the context of Christianity today, there's a lot of things and a lot of people that are going to tell us what we should be doing as Christians, how we should act, and which is very viable and true. There is a certain way we should uphold ourselves if we call ourselves Christians. I am not going to deny that. I'm not going to say that is wrong. If we're calling ourselves Christians, we should emulate what Christ does. We should be that same light that Christ is. But as well, we have to also think the cliche of what would Jesus do? There are people in our lives, there are circles and communities that each of us may have a foothold in that other people may not. And there are going to be people that are going to tell us we shouldn't be around them. You can't be friends with those people. And I have to look back on the compassion I have experienced because I was not expecting to get emotional today. I remember I was prepping this sermon and I was talking to Nick and I was like, I don't really got a personal story to tell. And I was like, well, I do, but I don't really want to talk about it. But at the same time, I think it's very important. And so 7 years ago, I really struggled as a Christian. Surprise, surprise. I was serving and I was a leader in different ministries. Yet, there's all this baggage I was carrying. Part of it was the actions I've taken, the things I've done that have not only hurt me, hurt other people, but also the anger I was carrying because the cards I was dealt, which led to a lot of my actions to decide to resort to very harmful things, which was resorting to sex as a means to cope with what I was dealing with. And I kept that a lot to myself for many, many years. And I remember I was really going through this, I was wrestling with God because I was like, people can't know this. If people knew everything about me, if people really knew who I really was and what I've done, they're gonna leave me. Like that was my biggest fear. And 7 years ago is when I had met Zach and a few other good friends that have helped started Collective, that have been a part of Collective, and have been part of my close circle of people, of men and friends I trust. But I remember I was going through this wrestling of like, I can't tell anyone this. Because once they know, they're gonna leave. They're gonna hate me. They're gonna think I'm the worst of the worst and I shouldn't be here. And I remember I was driving home and my friend Christian and I kind of had a little tiff. Nothing crazy, but the things I was carrying were festering up inside me. And it got to this point where I was just in turmoil. And I remember I told him to leave. And then I had just word vomited everything. And I just said everything. And he said, hold up. I can't just leave now. And then if you know me well enough, when I talk about serious stuff, especially one-on-one, I get really awkward. And it was one of those things where I let my darkest secrets out to one of my great friends now. And I was afraid, partially I wanted him to leave because I was like, that's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting him to up and leave and abandon me. Yet, instead, I was met with compassion. Christian, that night, and the weeks to come, I was met by compassion with a lot of the good friends I have now. And I remember those experiences of, if people really knew me, if people knew I was, quote unquote, the chief of sinners, they're not gonna love me. Like, I wouldn't be able to be with them anymore. And that was like my biggest fear, that I can't sit at this table anymore. And that is the opposite of what Jesus preaches. In this story, we see Jesus call out to Zacchaeus and ask him to invite him in. Like, here I am. You see me. I know you. So let's hang out. That's what Jesus emulates to us. And I remember going through that whole time of processing the compassion I've then been given by his followers. It gave me a deeper understanding of the compassion of Christ. And it's like, it's not just me giving some food to people. It's not just me giving up my sweater to people. Like, that's a great thing. That is a really good thing and a good action. But compassion goes much deeper than that. Compassion without relationship is not compassion at all. And if you've heard me teach and preach before, you've heard me say this before, many times, that community communicates Christ. The way we do community, the way we love each other, the way we show compassion to one another is going to emulate that same compassion that Jesus had on Zacchaeus, that Jesus had on the adulterous woman that the Pharisees wanted to stone, that same compassion on the Samaritan woman at the well, the same compassion that he had for the thief on the cross. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of things in this world that are gonna make us wrestle with, what do we do as Christians? How do I, as a Christian, in a very dark place, be a light there? And the only thing I could think of is to have compassion on people. There is a lost and dying generation out there that Jesus is seeking for and knows they are lost, and he wants them to be saved. And how do we do that? We just show up. I think it's very easy for us to tell people what's the right thing to do. This is righteousness, which is great. Truth can't be taught until you have relationship, though. That is the point of discipleship. But if you're not even working on building a relationship, your compassion is going to come off as more cruel than anything. And that's what we're not here for. I think us Christians get so caught up in a lot of those things of, this is righteousness, this is what we're supposed to be doing, and we try to build up this savior complex, like we're the ones that save. But it's not us. It's nothing we do. It's because we have Jesus and the Holy Spirit in us that will work around us. Trust me, I get in those hero savior complexes of, if I show up, it's going to be me that has to do something. It's not me. It's not me that has to do anything. Jesus used the donkey to speak. God used the donkey to speak. God could use whatever. He doesn't have to use you. Like, I'm sorry to say that. Like, you have to look at yourself more humbly. Because we have to understand all of us are sinners that Jesus sought to save. It's not, oh, he only sought to save those that are consciously, morally right, that live certain lifestyles only. No. Jesus came to save all. He came to die for everyone, whether we agree with their lifestyle or not. That is real compassion. And that is a challenge to us. I know it's hard. Trust me. I've had many fights with people I love that I don't agree with. and have had to wrestle with the idea of what compassion is and what Jesus would do. Because it's so easy for me to preach and say, this is the right thing to do and this is what you have to do to be right with God. And I automatically will overlook that my words are more harming and hurting than building a bridge. It's burning the bridges down. And here's a challenge, because I think we live in such a culture that tells us everything is black and white. I think here, if you've been with Collective long enough, you have learned we kind of live in the gray area. We live in between. We can understand, we can hold to hope, but also honesty at the same time. That we could hold to our grief, and we could hold to joy together. That is, I think, what teaches us as well compassion, because we know the worst, but we also know the best. And when we hold those hand in hand, like, we are going to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And I hope and I pray that we experience that and know that. I've only known that because I've experienced it. I've experienced it in community, and it's helped me understand the compassion that Jesus has for me. Because I've struggled with that a lot in my life, where, yes, I understand that Jesus died for me, but it was so hard for me to understand that he loves me and had compassion over me. So, my challenge tonight, because we do this thing of 10 minutes of silence and solitude, is simply this. And I think we could all do this, and it's to pray. There's very specific people I know each of us could think of that we could pray for to have an encounter with Jesus and know his love and know his compassion and know that, like, because you've experienced that, you want that for everyone else. And also, the next challenge, if you yourself have not experienced that, pray and ask to receive that. And know that you have the opportunity in community to experience the compassion of Christ and know that he loves and cares about you. And so with these next 10 minutes, I just ask that you pray. Pray for people you know. Pray for yourself. Pray that we could just be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so take the next 10 minutes. I'll come back. And in the next 10 minutes, I'm just going to play a nice instrumental. And in closing, I hope tonight and from this point on, I hope we become more compassionate people that emulate that same compassion Christ has for us. Because the reality of it is, there is a lost and dying generation out there that is looking for something, that is looking for hope, and we have to understand. Yes, we might have our own preconceived prejudices towards people, but we have to challenge ourselves to have more compassion and ask God, give me a heart that is like yours. Give me eyes to see people the way you do. Give me the hands and feet to be willing to serve those people well. It's going to be a challenge. You're going to face people that may disagree with you, may even tell you you shouldn't. But just know that we get to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and what an opportunity that is. So let us worship, and we'll see you next time.